People who like to explore abandoned buildings or places, what's the scariest experience you've had? Story 1. In my small town, there was an abandoned hospital right next to our high school, so naturally, we decided to check it out. It had been abandoned for about 5 years and looked like no one had been in there since. Everything went fine, and we were intrigued, so we kept going back every day after school. After about 3 or 4 days, we decided to go to the side where all the surgeries and stuff go on, which is the top floor. We never went past the first floor. To get to the top floor, we had to use the emergency stairwell, as the elevators don't work. Everything from the first floor up is pitch dark, so we use our lights on our phones. Just using our small phone light in the pitch dark hallways felt like we were exploring a cave system. Well, we would go check out all the rooms up on the top floor and we kept seeing the same thing in every room, completely empty except for one single chair in a corner facing the corner. This creeped us out, so we decided to get the heck out of there. Trying to find our way out, we started hearing strange noises which were starting to freak us out. We got quiet and stopped walking for a second to figure out where it was coming from. All of a sudden, something made a loud noise in the air ducts right above us, and we started running like we had never run before. If there was something in there that wanted to get us, they could have if they wanted to. We ran in a circle 2 times before we realized where the stairwell was. After regrouping outside, we concluded that it was a rat, and it was an unspoken truce to never go back in there. I finished 3 more years of high school and never brought it up again. Before we continue, do us a quick favor, smash that like button, and subscribe to support our channel. Story 2. We went to this park that's in this really ghetto part of town. The park used to be a TB hospital, then the insane asylum, then abandoned buildings where many people died because they would drink and fall down the elevator shaft. Then it turned into a children's park that's mostly unused. There was a Department of Justice building right in front of it. Now on the other side of one of the windows, there was this sign, this was midnight, by the way, that had this purplish-colored light in there. We parked relatively close to this window. We started walking away from the building, and we began to see this figure by the window. Now the purplish light was being blocked, unlike before. So, it looked like someone was standing there. It's a government building and midnight, so it should have been closed with no one there, and not chilling in the complete dark if it was security or something, but we were like, what the heck? We looked at each other and then looked back. The figure was gone. We walked toward the building and looked through the window. Other than this sign with the purple light, it was 101% dark in there and no sign of anyone being there. We looked through this window for a while, saw nothing. We were like, screw it, maybe we imagined it or something. So we started walking back towards the park. About 3/4 of the way back to the park, we all kind of looked back and we saw the figure again. It looks like a tall man standing by the window, just staring at us, but we couldn't make out any features or anything, just this black figure covering the light from behind him. We kind of freaked out and decided to leave then. Not sure if it is something scary, but like I said, this area of town is pretty sketchy, so we left for our own safety. Story 3. In Cappadocia in Turkey, there are large areas of very soft rock which have allowed the locals to dig amazing underground cities, caves, dwellings, etc. There is one place where there's a canyon, the walls of which are riddled, absolutely riddled, like Swiss cheese, with these man-made tunnels, dwellings, and so on, pretty much deserted. Even though it's this amazing ancient site, unlike in a first-world country, you can just wander around at will. There are no barriers, no guards, no guidebooks, and no safety warnings. Nothing. My girlfriend, now wife, and I set off to explore down this canyon. In an hour or two, we were there. We saw maybe 3 or 4 other people. We only had a fairly pathetic little torch. We'd looked down a fair few tunnels, and they were pretty cool. They had steps leading up to additional rooms and all sorts of things. They were mostly very well made, about maybe 5 foot wide, with smooth, flat floors and plenty of head height. We set off down a tunnel. It went into the ground further than most. It turned a couple of corners and was absolutely utterly pitch black, as without the torch, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. We were walking forward side by side, looking at the walls, when at the last second, I realized the floor in front of us looked blacker than it should. I came to a sudden stop and flung out my arm, and stopped my girlfriend. We shone the torch down, and the floor ended, maybe a foot in front of our feet. There was just a square shaft, the width of the corridor, disappearing down into blackness. We threw a pebble down, and never heard it hit bottom. No one knew we were there. If we'd fallen in, even if we'd survived, no one would have known to look for us, or which of hundreds and hundreds of tunnels we might be in. Still gives me the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it. Story 4. I live in a place called Polk County, a county in central Florida whose reputation definitely precedes it. So, one day, cruising around North Lakeland, some friends and I found what seemed to be the biggest abandoned building any of us had ever seen. It was a 5-story, 3-winged abandoned Catholic school. Basement and rooftop included. We, being stupid teenagers, decided to go smoke some grass and play manhunt inside. When I describe this place, I can only think of the words eerie and morbidly terrifying. We didn't care though, it was the coolest stuff we'd ever seen in our small town lives. But to get to the story, we were going down a corridor with a dead end. We got to the end room, and we heard what sounded like a metal pot get thrown in the hallway. Terrified, we all grab whatever's closest to us for a weapon. The only suitable weapons in that damn room were a stack of canned beans, so we all grabbed canned beans and ran down the hallway to the exit side. You have no idea about the stuff going through my head at this point. The scary part is that we checked every room in that hallway. After a few seconds, a voice calls out. We exchange some words with a guy, and finally he says, "You want a cigarette?" My friend, being an idiot, says, "Oh, he's chill. Come on," and starts walking down the hallway back to the guy. Called him an idiot. He agreed. So then we start leaving. We came through a window in a room near the end, so as we were walking back into that room, I was the last one in. I kid you not. I look up as everyone gets in the door, and I see a man start around the corner at the other end of the hallway. My heart stops, I swear. He's got something in his hands. I look down. It's a frigging handsaw. So I burst into the room. The first person isn't even out the window yet, so I'm shoving everyone out the window. They're just like, "What the heck?" And I had no time to explain. I just said run, so everyone gets out, and I'm the last one climbing out. I'm halfway out. I look back at the door, and there he is, standing right at the entrance. Story 5. There's this small town in the mountains on the way to a ski resort I used to work at, and a lot of people go to. It's probably the weirdest town ever. One way in and out is by a bridge over a river that basically surrounds the town. Basically, you go there during the day, and the place is a ghost town. No one is out. Once night falls, you start to see ladies pushing strollers, walking their dogs, etc. There is this old bed and breakfast there that has been abandoned for years. It was built in like 1890 or something like that. It was an inn for families to stay that had husbands who were loggers 100 years ago. The story goes that there was this girl, Alice, who had a husband who died logging. She got word that he had been killed in an accident. She proceeded to off herself in the attic of the inn. I was able to find old newspaper articles and archives that prove this true. A lot of people used to say they saw her walking the halls sometime after she passed. Employees who worked at the bed and breakfast before it closed in the 90s reported lots of weird things happening. We used to go there and try and scare ourselves. I kid you not, one time we were shining flashlights in the top window, and slowly one of the curtains opened and stayed open for a few seconds, then slowly closed. Note that the top floor no longer exists because it collapsed years earlier. There was no way anyone could be on the top floor. Pretty creepy. We got older and then started going there and breaking in and drinking and whatnot. Experienced many weird noises, but nothing that weird. This is the Bush House in Index, Washington, off of Highway 2. I learned they recently renovated it and reopened it late last year. I can find sources that I had found years ago. They are relics of the internet. The only questionable thing is whether the girl's name was actually Alice. Story 6. Years ago, my friends and I tried to enter a very old abandoned psychiatric hospital. It was on a crisp winter morning. Everything was silent. We didn't even hear the birds sing, only the soft sound of our shoes on the mud. We looked up at the massive building. All the windows were broken. The dead ivy all
coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Almost covered the entire facade. There was only one way, and we had to climb the stairs outside of the building. And then on the third floor level, we were supposed to go through a hole in the wall. One bad step and we could fall all the way down. But we didn't enter through that hole. I saw the clear silhouette of a man with an axe in his hand. I couldn't see his face, but he was definitely looking at me. I told my friend to run, as I saw him coming towards us. We ran away for some time until we reached the town. Then, after a shaky cup of coffee, we decided to go back. Why? We were stupid teens, but we stayed outside, on the ground floor. I looked through the side of a massive metal door, and I saw the man again. I could see that he had put some bags on the ground, with metal tools inside. It was pretty obvious now. He was looking for copper. We decided to circle around the building one last time, frustrated that we had lost our time. But before we even started to leave, we heard the man running towards us, inside the building, and he hit the metal door with his axe several times, with all of his force. We ran away a second time. When we came back for the third time, we finally saw him, and I'm glad that he was inside the building, so he couldn't catch us, because if I hadn't seen the bags he had beforehand, I would have thought he was some shady guy. Story 7. My friends and I broke into an abandoned insane asylum years ago. We found a number of creepy things. Two stand out. The first one we found was when we walked into a random room and shone our flashlights around. On the floor in the middle of the room was a white and red box with a medical cross on it, sitting on top of a broken record. Part of the box was busted out, and there was some sort of organ inside. Fresh blood had leaked out and was just starting to congeal around the edges. The last room of our excursion was a file room. Thousands of patient files had been left inside. Needless to say, we took some. We also took a page from a photo album. They were the only pictures we found in there. Later on, we were at a diner poring over the crazy stuff we found, and my friend took a look at the pictures only to find that her mom was in 3 out of the 6. Apparently, she had worked there a few decades prior. Story 8. I'm from Pennsylvania, and most of you from the area know about the whole abandoned turnpike. If you don't know or can't relate, the PA abandoned turnpike is a stretch of road that was meant to be part of the turnpike in Pennsylvania, but was abandoned in the 1960s when it was basically bypassed by I-70. Well, a couple of buddies and I, accompanied by our ladies at the time, took a road trip up to the old Laurel Hill Tunnel and decided to check it out. So we park off a woodland trail and hike what feels like 2 miles at a 90-degree angle up to the actual abandoned worksite. Now, it's like 2 a.m. at this point. So we're just getting into the fun. We start walking the 13-mile stretch of road, and come to one of the overpass tunnels that had what looked like a heating say-she building attached. It's sheet metal and green, like your grandpa's tool shed out back. So to get inside of this, there's a stairwell to the side that is brick and has an old-school iron staircase that looks like a fire escape. So we start to clamber up this stairwell, and all of a sudden, a freaking chair comes flying down the stairs and crashes at the level above us. It terrified the crap out of us. The scariest part about the whole thing, though, was that the ladies of ours who didn't climb the stairs with us and waited at the bottom let out the most blood-curdling screams. Their screams not only echoed through the stairwell, but they also told us that they screamed because they were hit with a blast of wind that had no business being there. So needless to say, we never went there again. Story 9. In the summer of 1992, we were exploring the old abandoned airport hangars at Republic Airport on Long Island. The hangars are no longer there. One night we were exploring, and at some point, a pickup truck drove right near us, which freaked us out as it was desolate. So we took off. We return a few days later, and everything is roped off, and we see signs for a toxic waste dump site or something along those lines. That's not the freaky part. Here's the freaky part. Right around the same time, Joel Rifkin, the serial killer, gets caught. He was caught with victims in his vehicle. His vehicle was a pickup truck. He had been dumping bodies at the abandoned airport hangar. We probably came within a few feet of the dead bodies as we had explored most of the hangar. Still freaks me out, thinking it was probably his pickup truck we had seen that night with the victims in tow. Story 10. I went into an abandoned elementary school with some of my friends once. There was actually a homeless dude playing with his stick in the bathroom. I was 14 and had never seen a dong in real life before. The school is within walking distance of my house, and I avoid it at all costs, even now. Story 11. I was hiking with some friends in a place near Payson, way north of Phoenix. It was about 11 p.m., and we had gone on a camping trip and were just hiking way out in the pine trees. Two of my friends, mind you, stayed by the campfire. We swore, and we still swear to this day, that we heard what sounded like those two friends having a conversation. It was so distinct, we almost made out what they were saying. We weren't too creeped out by this at the time. We were more creeped out by the constant feeling that something was in the forest watching us. We walked back to the campfire, and our friends weren't there. We then walked a mile up to where the cabin was, and they were inside, watching The Simpsons. We asked them if this was some dumb prank, and they were baffled. They had been in the cabin since we decided we wanted to hike. I don't know if I believe them, but the constant feeling that there were three of us in the forest when I know there were only two, it leads me to believe something creepy was happening. Story 12. I was exploring this really awesome abandoned Victorian-era mansion-turned-mental asylum. It had everything: a stone ballroom, an indoor fountain, a huge staircase at the entrance that looked straight out of Resident Evil, a tower, patient rooms, and the works. What made it even cooler was that I had stumbled into the place totally by accident. I had been exploring a nearby building on a whim, and as it turned out, it connected to the mansion. I had been in there for at least an hour, maybe more, and I only had a few rooms left to explore. I walk into a big one on the top floor of the place, and the first thing I see is a sign that says something along the lines of warning: extremely high levels of asbestos in this area. Respirators must be worn. If you have been exposed, go to the nearby hospital's ER immediately. I immediately sprinted the heck out of there, threw my clothes in the wash first thing when I got home, and took a really long shower. I also never went exploring again without having a P100 respirator first. I did not go to the ER. I figured it was most likely only for that room, which I didn't even go into. It may have also just been a scare tactic, or at least overcautious, since you need way more exposure than just a few breaths to get significant asbestos damage. Regardless, I didn't feel like admitting to a crime at the same hospital that owns the building. Story 13. There's an old abandoned slaughterhouse outside my hometown that my friends and I used to go exploring in. One day during midday, we were wandering around upstairs when we heard people on the main floor talking. Kind of spooked, we quieted down and looked for some cracks in the very old floorboards to try and spy on the people downstairs. What we saw were three older guys, older than us, still in high school. They were smoking out of a pipe, and after they finished, they entered one of the rooms near the back of the plant, leaving the door ajar. We slowly made our way down the stairs, moving as quietly and as fast as we could. After making it to the main floor, I decided I wanted to see what they were doing, so I slipped away from my friends, heading to the car to try and get a peek. I moved 15 or 20 yards down from the front of the door and hid behind a stack of old planks and gravel. I looked in and could see that they were smoking again and were fooling with a bunch of containers, some boiling and with tubes. Holy crap! I thought to myself, we got some real-life drug heads here. Then I realized that they probably wouldn't take kindly to my prying eyes and began moving out and back to the car. As I'm moving and trying to keep an eye on them, I knocked over some stuff. I honestly can't remember what. I remember scurrying to try and catch the stuff before it hit the ground. I failed. There was a loud crash, and a "the heck was that?" I bolted as fast as I could to the car, screaming, "Start the frigging car." I jumped in the car and we peeled out. As the dust from the gravel road cleared, I could see them standing by the door. Story 14. This wasn't strictly an abandoned building, but my old college campus had an odd building that was shaped like an authentic Scottish castle, down to towers, parapets, walls, etc. Mind you, only the outside was designed to look like a castle, with every room inside being just squeezed in wherever it could fit, so it was already famous for no two rooms being identical, as well as other architectural oddities such as staircases that led nowhere, and needing to go up and down a floor to reach a room right next to you, so it was already something of a weird, creepy building. It was used mainly as a dorm, but a lot of it, especially the outer towers and walls, was closed off to the public, so I think those areas should count. And yes, there was a good amount of really weird stuff there. The first time I explored there, I found a small door that was mostly rusted shut on the bottom of one of the rear towers. It was unused, but I could still open it enough to get through, so I came back that night to explore. It led to a small circular room on the inside of the tower with a bunch of detritus on the floor, like pallets, some old chairs, and a big metal plate, more on that later. However, above me, there was an open square hole which clearly led to another room inside what would be the top of the tower where a ladder probably had been at one point. I forget how I got up there, but once I got up there, I couldn't believe what I saw. The whole room was filled with hundreds of broken mirror shards, chained together by string and hanging from the ceiling, as well as all over the floor and the window sills. Also scattered on the floor were what at first looked like dozens of big coins, but on closer inspection turned out to be the metal rims of those cheap little tea candles, stomped flat by people walking on them. Finally, in the center of the room, there was a tiny table, on top of which was a metal bowl filled with more mirror shards, surrounded by more empty candles. I have no idea what the heck that room had been used for, but I swear to God it looked like some ritual was going down there. I took some pictures with my phone so my friends would believe me, but it was the middle of the night, all I had was a dim flashlight, and phone cameras were crappy back then, so nothing really came out that well. That was probably the single weirdest thing I saw exploring there, but the most heart-stopping thing easily came after I came back later and discovered what was under that big metal plate. Apparently, there was a whole system of tunnels ranging from about 2.5 to 4 feet high that followed the castle walls all the way around, giving access to many of the other towers to which I had just found the only entrance. Of course, I had to see what was down there. It was all dirt floor, with lots of metal wires and bars sticking out in random places, tetanus hole, and there I was, crawling around on my hands and knees holding a flashlight in my teeth, trying to see where I could get to. Some parts, probably the sections under parts of the walls that were used for storage, sort of opened up so that I could sort of crouch and look around at the trash and detritus where students had probably hidden and forgotten things over the years. But I'm a pretty small guy, 5'6" and like 110 pounds back then, and even I had to struggle to squirm through some of the passages which were sometimes partially filled by plumbing, leading me to wonder just what the hell these passages were made for if it's too tight for anyone but a scrawny teenager. Anyway, it was in one of these super tight passages, 5 feet underground, that I had one of the most terrifying experiences of my life. Turning around a corner, I saw exactly what you don't want to see in a place like that, sneakers, connected to a pair of jeans. As I adjusted my flashlight, which again was in my teeth, it got worse, a red flannel shirt, not empty and lying flat, mind you, but very much filled and body-shaped, lying in the tunnel facing away, just a few feet in front of me. I don't get scared a lot, but I could feel the color drain from my face just looking at what appeared to be a damn victim stashed away in some dark tunnel under a dorm to be forgotten. I don't know how I mustered the courage to keep going, but getting closer, it was also clear that it didn't have a head, either. I finally got a good enough angle sneaking by it to see where its head should have been, only to see a speaker membrane under the shirt collar. The whole thing was a freaking mannequin, dressed up like a human, with wireframe arms and legs, probably as some old Halloween prop, hence the speaker. God only knows why someone decided that this, of all places, was the best place to hide it. Story 15. One morning, my brother and I went to this locally famous breakfast diner downtown for the first time. Because of its immense popularity, We were given a wait of about 40 minutes, so we decided to just walk a bit downtown to kill time. We stumbled upon this boarded-up and adorned decaying two-story house not too far from the diner, and we walked around to the back, where we found a fire escape. Naturally, being the idiot I am, I got up onto the fire escape while my brother waited for me at the bottom. At the top there was a door that was ajar, so being the bigger idiot I am, I walked inside. There were clear signs that people had been residing in the house, as there were alcoholic bottles, needles, and, confusingly, a ton of cereal boxes inside. I pulled out my phone and used the flashlight on my iPhone to guide my way through the second story to the stairs leading down to the first floor. I peered around the corner of the stairs and, to my horror, I saw two dudes and a girl, clearly homeless and on something, totally screwed up on what seemed to be some mind-numbing drug. I slowly ease myself step by step back down the hall to the fire escape and trip in the process. Next thing I know, I hear one of the dudes yell from downstairs and I bolt outside to the fire escape and out of sight of the building. My brother and I got back to the diner, scared, just in time to be called and seated at a table. 10-10 food, service, and affordability. I would totally recommend Duda's Diner if you're ever in Wichita. Would 11-10 recommend not walking around downtown to kill time, though? Story 16. In high school, I and a few friends, including a girl that my best friend really liked and hoped to hook up with, had seen this abandoned old house in the middle of the woods near a cow field, and we thought it would be a good idea to check it out in the middle of the night. We only had one flashlight, so mostly it was just the moon guiding us while the girls freaked out the entire time. We got into the house by climbing on a fallen log that fell right through the roof and noticed certain things: an old plastic Christmas tree, moldy books, and a broken bowling ball. We wandered into a dark room away from the fallen tree and tried to let our eyes adjust, and then the worst putrid smell hit our noses, like rotting meat. We started talking and then heard something scurry in the room, which wasn't a big room by any means. The girl started screaming with the one girl my friend liked clutching onto him, which he loved, and we heard whooshes of air like something moved past our faces. I had no idea what was happening, just that something real was in that room and we couldn't see it. Eventually, the friend with the flashlight made it in, and we held our breath as he turned it on. In the middle of the room were two vultures with a disgusting piece of carrion just looking at us like we were crazy. Not as scary as it could have been, but it's crazy we were walking right into wild animals as they ate and had no idea. Story 17. This isn't an abandoned building, but an abandoned couple of floors. My old university's design school is located in an old hospital. The top two or three floors were cleaned, but there are still relics from the past, like hospital beds and such. Well, I was walking through it with our professor and another student looking for stuff to use for one of our projects, and I happened to walk by this small room with no windows and its door open. I look into it, but don't acknowledge what I've seen. I take a second look, and I see a person standing there in the darkness with a deer head. Turns out, someone had put a mannequin in the dark room with a mounted deer head on top of it. It just absolutely terrified me when I first saw it. The drawing room was in the old mortuary, and the elevators would open randomly on their own. Being there on your own at 1 or 2 a.m. was very creepy. Story 18. I was wandering around an abandoned mental asylum. We turned a corner, and there were lights in my face, and I heard, "Police on the ground now." It turned out to be some other people exploring the building who wanted to screw with us. It also turned out one of them was a cousin to one of my friends. With me, a weird family reunion. Anyway, we headed off to the quiet rooms, which were a hallway of padded rooms. It was a long hallway in the basement, pitch black and completely flooded. It was covered in graffiti that said "Turn back, no hope," and other vulgar and creepy stuff. Lots of weird echoes. We were wading in water about waist high in the dark when the batteries in our light died. We turned back but had to walk for maybe 5 minutes with a flickering light in that scary, echo-filled hall. We met back up with the other guys on the roof and had a little party. Good night. Story 19. It occurred in Northern England. There's an old abandoned mental asylum near where I live, which is pretty creepy. It's got a pretty depressing history, meaning the stories other kids told me. Anyway, the asylum is huge. And because it's pitch black, it's so easy to get lost. It's like a labyrinth inside, making it very confusing and disorientating. It smells weird, and is filled with relics from the past, like hospital beds, machines, etc. But the scariest thing that happened to me personally was the last time I went. My friends and I walked into a dark room, and the entire floor was missing, apart from a small patch directly in front of the door. As I was walking in, I almost fell completely down the hole, which was like a two-story drop. I was probably like half an inch from screwing myself up. Something similar happened again. I was sprinting through a quarry at night, right alongside a conveyor. A catwalk started up next to the conveyor, and I thought, hey, that looks easier to run down than jumping over those bushes up ahead. On the spur of the moment, I took the catwalk. There was a 100-foot drop immediately past those bushes. I had a fair number of adventures while I was younger. Fairly surprised I survived. In this particular case, I was sprinting for the pure joy. In an hour, I would be sprinting to stay away from the security guard who spotted my friends and me. Story 20. On Angel Island in San Francisco Bay, there's an abandoned World War II military base, including an old hospital. You can explore the buildings, but the lower floor staircases have been removed, so you can go up onto the upper floors and potentially get hurt. Well, being reckless 15-year-olds, my friends and I decided to boost the most nimble guy up to the second floor so he could see what it was like up there. Apparently, it was mostly like the rest of the hospital, except there was a room on the third floor that was padlocked shut and had "Keep Out" painted on the door. Yes, there was photographic evidence, so he wasn't just messing with us. I have no idea what they'd need to keep locked up on the theoretically inaccessible third floor of an abandoned hospital, and I'm not sure I want to know. Yeah, it would have been cool if we could have cut the lock and checked it out, but we were on a camping trip, so we didn't exactly have bolt cutters with us, and it's not close enough to home for me to easily go back. Story 21. Been exploring all kinds of things for years, on and off. In actual buildings, structurally questionable stairs or floors, you learn to tread carefully, really, really fast, and give things a good eyeball before putting weight on them. Nearly went through a few floors stairwells as a teenager exploring abandoned factories buildings that dated back years. With tunnels and stuff, bad air is the scariest thing ever. CO2 concentrates in deep spots with crappy ventilation, so it's fairly easy to blunder into a place where you find yourself out of breath, a lot but still breathing. If that happens, double back as fast as possible. High concentrations of CO2 also tend to elicit a fear response. So if doing tunnel underground exploring and you find you are suddenly feeling extra jumpy and short of breath, back out. Another scary thing with tunnels and such is the rotten eggs smell of hydrogen sulfide, which is an absurdly poisonous, smelly gas. If you smell it and suddenly can't smell it anymore, it's time to get out into the fresh air. The most insidious thing about hydrogen sulfide is that it numbs the receptors that smell it at higher concentrations, and it is easily going to kill you. Some old tunnels, like disused sewer systems, will contain this stuff. Finding empty houses that seem to have just been left as is for a few years is always creepy as hell. They also usually smell either funky geo-musty or bad rotting stuff, food, etc., depending on the vintage of the house. Only had one experience with abandoned farmland, but stumbling across animal bones while already a bit spooked is sure to get the heart pumping for a bit. While exploring things is never going to be a risk-free endeavor, usually the most risky or the scariest thing is going to be getting picked up by the police or site security. Usually, you can talk your way out of these situations quite readily, just don't get arrested with any tools on you or else it probably will go south. I have never been prosecuted or charged with anything for exploring physical locations. The worst was threats of prosecution, and it took a few weeks to get my camera back, sans photos for whatever reason, from the police. That incident being entirely my own damn fault too. I was not particularly careful about avoiding being spotted getting into the place, an abandoned shopping center in an urban location, beside a busy road with CCTV. Story 22. I love to explore the abandoned Titan nuclear bases in Colorado. I have had a few really terrifying experiences down there. We were held up at gunpoint. While at the end of a really long dark tunnel, we saw a light at the other end. As to not scare the crap out of anyone, we try to make our presence known when we see other explorers. We yelled down the tunnel, and they yelled back, telling us they were coming to us. When they got there, they all had guns. Three in total, one had a shotgun, and the other two small pistols. They told us to drop all of our gear, including lights and phones, and to step away. Not wanting to die in an abandoned silo, we complied. They took everything we had, and slowly backed away, guns still drawn. I know the place pretty well because I go down there a lot, but getting out in the pitch black was very nerve-wracking and dangerous. If it were anyone else but us, since we knew this place inside and out, they most likely would have seriously injured themselves or even died. In this complex are missile silos that go 10 stories into the ground. Most of them are filled up with water and other nasty crap. Around the sides of these silos are all the old pipes and air ducts hanging off the walls. Being the dumb guys we are, we like to climb on them to get to otherwise inaccessible rooms. My buddy held the light for me, and one other person. As we climbed, my friend lost his footing and fell about 30 feet into the water below. He didn't surface for about 15 seconds, the 15 longest seconds of our lives. He was able to grab some pipes and climb up to us, and we helped him out. He left everything he had besides his pants and shirt there because we didn't know what could be in that water. He had cut his leg pretty badly on something in the water, and we rushed to a hospital. We got there in time to get the cut cleaned, and luckily, it did not get infected. We did not tell them we were exploring the silos. We told them he fell at a construction site. This was probably stupid, but we did not want to get in trouble. He got a really bad cold for the next few weeks. We like to take people down there who have never seen it, and give them tours. We even mapped it out and studied its history to give them a really cool experience. We were taking a few girls down there. In total, there were six of us. We get down into one of the main rooms from which there are multiple tunnels branching off. Right at the entrance to the tunnel that led to the silos, there was a hatch door that had broken off the wall and was lying on the ground. There was a decent-sized puddle of blood on it. We touched the blood with gloves on, and it could not have been more than a few hours old. There were splotches of blood leading away from the puddle. The most unnerving part was that it led deeper into the complex, not out of it. We being the idiots we were decided to follow it. It led to one of the silos that did not have much water in it. It dropped about 50 feet into the ground before it was too dark to see. The blood was covering the ledge right next to the drop, the rope that chained the drop off, and a bunch of the pipes on the walls. We looked all over for the source, hoping that no one was injured. We couldn't find anything, so we noped the heck out of there real quick. I went down there alone once, and only once. Adjacent to the circular silos are these circular rooms that are three stories with each floor connected by a ladder. Outside of one of the rooms was a bunch of water, filling a tunnel. Something about this water was off. It was much darker, and seemed to be more still than any of the other water there. You would drop things in it, and through a greenish haze, see them ever so slowly sink to the bottom. Sometimes just staying suspended above the ground by whatever nasty chemicals are in the water. Inside the room on the top floor was a huge demonic painting. It depicted a girl with her rib cage exposed and her organs falling out, forming the head of another girl below, with arrows going through it. There were goat skulls and all sorts of creepy stuff. I went there alone just once. I sat in that room in the pitch black for about an hour and just listened to the silence. The vibes I got were crazy. Nothing really happened, but I had never felt more hopeless, alone, or scared in my entire life. I left after about an hour. Story 23. One summer in college, I lived in a house in town with a couple of friends. The town itself was pretty scuzzy away from campus. This is the rural Midwest, so you get your drug heads and what have you. But we were fairly close to campus, in an area where students rented, so we didn't usually see much of it. Just run down old houses that landlords rented cheap. The scariest thing you were likely to run into was a drunk girl puking off someone's porch. However, right behind the house I was living in was an abandoned high school, big old brick building that had been left up after they built a new one out by the highway back in the 70s. When you went out the back door, you had a little backyard, an alley, and then three stories of brick and boarded up windows. It's summer in a little college town, so obviously my housemates and I are drinking a lot and making fast friends with anyone else who happens to be around. One night, the four of us, a friend who lived nearby, and a handful of her friends are hanging out on our front porch when one of the friends of a friend starts talking about the old high school. I've wondered about it too, but it looks too well boarded up. But we're a little bit tipsy, so five or six of us head back into the alley and start trying all the boards until we find one that pulls loose. I should mention that one of the friends I'm with is in the process of becoming a US citizen, and he's totally paranoid about getting arrested and screwing it up, but he's also really susceptible to peer pressure, so we've got someone with us from the very start who's scared and whispering about what a bad idea this is, which doesn't do much for the mood. The first room we go into is a classroom, and it's pretty trashed, probably because it's the most accessible part of the building, but when we get out into the hallways and start heading upstairs, it's just a school. A rotting, eerie, quiet school. Desks piled up in some rooms, a few chalk marks left on blackboards. Bathrooms, where there's still dirty water dripping from mossy, rusted pipes in the ceiling. All of it was absolutely pitch dark, except for our flashlights. We get up to the third floor, and we're almost ready to head back, but there's one more staircase. It goes up to the balcony, overlooking the auditorium. The bunch of us crowd onto the landing at the top and shine our flashlights onto the rows of dusty seats. They dip away where the floor has collapsed in the middle. There's nowhere to go but back down the stairs. Of course, that's when we hear it. At first, my housemate shushes everyone. It's cops. Oh God, it's cops. I'm not taking it too seriously, but he's totally panicked, so we humor him. Flashlights off, huddled up against the wall at the top of the staircase. Straining to hear. Footsteps. And I don't think it's cops. Someone is just lazily strolling through the building. No, it's two people. Quiet murmuring. We're all scared now. Half these people I only met tonight, but we're all huddled up, squeezing each other's hands. The footsteps are pretty close now, and then they stop, like they heard something. You hear that? Someone says downstairs. I did. Should have brought the gun this time. Oh God. Oh crap. Oh crap. We all make a tight little scrum. I can hear one of my friends whispering a prayer. I have never been so scared. The footsteps sound like they're looking for us now. I can hear them at the bottom of the stairs. I don't know how, but I had this flash of a thought that I'd rather these people know I'm here before they bump into me. I yell out, "Who's there?" And a flashlight beam swings up at us. Crap. The voice says, "Who's there?" We turn on our lights, and at the bottom of the stairs are two particularly shifty-looking rednecks. I don't like to be too judgmental about townies, but these dudes looked rough. A couple of my friends are trying to stop shaking long enough to make small talk and defuse the situation. One of them asks the guys what brought them in here anyway. Oh, we just like to hang out in places like this. There are lots of rats and raccoons, and sometimes we bring the guns and have a little target practice. We got out of there quick and drained a box of Franzi on my front porch to settle our nerves. But the thought of those guys creeping around my neighborhood, armed, shooting into the dark, stuck in my mind for a long time. Story 24. When I was a kid, I used to hang out with a guy from my school, and one day, he brought a friend and said we should go explore the nature reserve out back of my house. So, we headed in and came to a tree bridge where we could cross over to the other side of this brook. We got to the other side and found a big mud pit. Taking our shoes off, we jumped in. Unfortunately, we wandered off without our shoes up another little creek. We stayed up there for about 20 minutes until we headed back. However, there was a group of high schoolers sitting next to the mud pit, smoking and drinking. Being around 8 years old, we didn't want to go past. We ended up waiting until they began walking up the creek. We were now trapped between a rock and a hard place. With no shoes, we had to clamber through the hedgerow and managed to escape with thorns in our feet. These kids threw our shoes in the brook, and we had to fish them out. It was at this moment that they noticed us and began to run after us. Why? I have no idea. It seems pointless and creepy to run after children, but perhaps they got a kick out of it. We then ran back to my house and jumped over my fence and into my house safely. It took a while to clean our feet and get the thorns out. We just played some PS2 instead. Story 25. There was this office building that was abandoned, except for the first floor, because of fire safety regulations. This girl and I went in and managed to make our way into some of the higher levels. At first, we came across a huge, empty concrete room that looked like a level of a parking garage. The weird thing was that it was minus 10 degrees in January, but this room in the abandoned section of the building was heated to 60 degrees. The rest of the building was freezing. We figured that someone was living there, so we got scared for a bit, but we moved on. Also, in the abandoned wing, there was this pitch-black hallway with a door at the end, and there was light coming out from under the door. We could barely make out a sheet of paper with the name of some lawyer crudely taped onto the door. Once again, an abandoned section, creepy environment, lawyer. Needless to say, we snuck away. This last part is actually the only part that scared me a bit. We went into the basement of the abandoned wing. The place was archaic to start with. Think 20s era Jay Gatsby decor. In addition, it was dusty, the lights flickered, and it sounded like someone else was lurking around. We split up for a minute, and I found myself inside this tiny room that was completely barren. I called her name, and she came over, and it turned out that we were standing inside a giant bank vault. We could have been sealed into our deaths if someone else were there. That part still gives me the creeps. Story 26. I spent nights over a couple of years taking long exposure photos in the Northampton State Hospital. It was a terrifying activity all by itself. I never got used to the creaks and moans of the old buildings, the sounds of the occasional junkie squatter freakout, or the soft, dangerously rotten condition of the buildings, and I stopped after I went through a weak stare and fell down the rest into a foot of standing cold, fetid water and mush. I was knocked out and woke up in pitch darkness, with my camera, tripod, and flashlight missing somewhere in the dark, absolutely no idea where I was. Confused and totally freaked out, I ventured further into the black wetness before I cleared up enough to remember the stairs somewhere behind me. I had to feel along the walls and tried to ignore the crushing, claustrophobic fear my imagination was spitting out with great vigor. And at any moment, I was expecting to feel a corpse's cold hands grabbing mine. The walls were covered in damp muck and peeling paint, and I was lost. I eventually found stairs and warily mounted them to a locked metal door. I decided I was hurt and lost, and it might be worth calling out for help, hoping the lone security guard might hear me. I'd be arrested, but screw it. I made a peep, which came out as an awful croak that echoed through the darkness like nothing I'd ever heard. I had to go back down into that crap, or sit on this stupid landing, until maybe it might get light when the sun rose. In a couple of hours, unlikely, it was a sub-basement. I was whimpering, all 6'4", 250 pounds of 23-year-old me. My legs were warm. I realized I'd peed myself. I eventually mustered the courage, but I felt like Jodie Foster at the end of Silence of the Lambs. I eventually found another set of stairs, pushed open the door into an unfamiliar corridor, kicked my way out of a plywood-covered window, and resolved that I could borrow a camera until the end of the semester. I wasn't going back in there, a resolve which lasted about 6 months, when a friend slipped me a key to the Belcher Town State School grounds and specific instructions to bring a hard hat and clipboard and tell any security that I was on a survey crew, doing night measurements. As a bonus, I got pneumonia and had a really solid concussion, which meant lots of fever dreams about being trapped in pitch-dark hallways full of unseen horrors. Story 27. My friend and I were biking once on a trail in the woods. Every few miles there was a post or sign talking about the coal miners and the coal industry that used to be where the trail cuts through. We decided to veer off from the main path and adventure more into the woods. We found a few random things that obviously didn't belong there, like golf balls, glasses, socks, etc., and followed them, but didn't really think much about them. We still don't know what the deal was with those things. We kept walking deeper through overgrown shrubs and stuff. We had abandoned our bikes on the trail and were joking the whole way, and then we came to this small clearing. There was a bunch of flowers, and I guess it didn't click right away that we had walked onto a single person's burial site. When we saw the headstone, probably from the 50s, it was just so eerie that we bolted back to our bikes. Probably a pretty normal story, but it was just so unexpected, so we freaked. Story 28. One time over the summer, I went to an abandoned train station in Manhattan, and it was my first time, so I was already a little bit shaky about the train station my friends and I were going to and what to do there. For anyone who lives in NYC, the train station is on Canal Street. The opposite platform is abandoned and out of use. Currently, sadly, the abandoned train station has been rigged with cameras and police officers guarding the area where you enter, which is scary to begin with. When we enter the door that is in the open, like anyone in the street can enter, and the whole entire floor is slimy and just looks like slime walked all over the floor. We got some really nice shots though, pictures of the graffiti on the wall and portraits of us. But then we heard a noise coming from the door, the same door we used to enter. At first I thought it was from the other platform or, best case scenario, explorers like us. But then we all went all the way to the back of the platform and saw two people in uniform looking with their flashlights out. And the whole station is barely lit because the only light source is from the other platform and from our phones. So, we all ran and jumped down from the platform onto the tracks and ran away from the cops who were there. We knew they knew we were there, probably because they were on patrol and they saw four men enter a door that seemed suspicious. One of my friends, Andrew, explored a lot before and knew a lot about the NYC subways and the trains, plus he took us there. So, we ran on the tracks for about an hour and a half, under the assumption that the cops were chasing us or were trying to find us from above. I was paranoid, I know. But long story short, after running on several tracks and crossing different stations, we finally made it to a station uptown, a live one, and got to the surface and made it back home safely. The scariest part of this experience was the noises. I kept hearing trains from above and around me, and every second I feared that one was going to rail right into us. Luckily, that didn't happen. And I can't believe how close I was to not only getting caught by the cops, but also almost getting railed by the trains. Since then, I still explored. I went to an abandoned hospital a mile from my house, climbed a bridge, went to an abandoned movie theater, and a lot of other places. I stopped going to abandoned places almost 2 months ago because I was putting my life at risk too many times, and I didn't want to face the repercussions of my actions. I wouldn't encourage urban exploring, it's dangerous and risky, but it's a fun experience to see what not a lot of people see on an ordinary basis. Story 29. Well, there is this old house that is abandoned near me. My girlfriend and I went to explore it. It's winter in Maine, and it gets dark fast. We got there around 4 p.m., and it was already starting to get dark. So we started going in and stuff, and naturally, I had to act as if I heard something to mess with her. I would throw rocks or lightly kick things just to make a loud noise. Eventually, we stumbled upon some dead animals. Some were really old, and some just had chunks of meat. Then, a rock was actually thrown near us. She was to the left of me, and the rock went over my right shoulder. She thought I had done it again, but in reality, I didn't. By this time, we could barely see the house. She thought it was just me playing another trick. She finally let us go out. Did I mention the only way in was through this concrete tunnel that was about 40 feet long and about 4 feet wide? Story 30. Back in 2006, bored after work, my buddy and I broke into an abandoned motorcycle repair shop in Boone, North Carolina. I suppose we were looking for usable junk, something to hang on the wall. After a while of poking headlamps around broken greasy parts covered in dust, I noticed a lump covered by a pile of clothes. I pushed them off, only to find a cardboard box with the name Kate Price written on top in Sharpie. When opening the box, I discovered it was full of files, all old, Commodore 64-style printouts or Xeroxed, handwritten documents. I pulled one off the top and glanced over it. It read from the desk of Dr. Joe Oleander Sear, Maryland. There was an underlined section of text that led to a footnote in the margin, which read, "As channeled through RAMDA, the Intergalactic Council of Space Confederation." Immediately, I called my friend over, as we began studying a document, which spelt out a plan to prepare one's mind for a new Jerusalem, which was coming on this planet. After a while, we packed the box and brought it to my apartment, where we began combing over the contents. After a short while, it was clear that they were mostly letters, written from Sear to a woman named Catherine between the years 1968 and 1992, all with intense spiritual messages of an oncoming apocalypse. Oftentimes, they were written explicitly channeled through another being. Not quite romantic, but fundamentally intimate. Nevertheless, they were intense. The world's end was soon. A light and dark brotherhood of aliens is at war. We must prepare our minds for the fourth dimension to survive the New Jerusalem. We found his number on a spiritual healing website and called him. To our surprise, he answered from his van in Arizona. He confirmed most of the topics, but when we asked about Catherine, he had no idea who she was, no recollection. When we asked about the postmarked dates on the letters, yes, he'd been in Mexico City in July 89, yes, he'd been in Sacramento in September 91. And so on. still not ringing any bells. He gave no explanation, really, beyond a memory block. Or perhaps we were all part of a larger metaphysical prophecy. After all, he'd been in the wilderness for the past 15 years, and only months prior had made any presence at all in the digital world. Thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this video, be sure to give it a thumbs up, subscribe, and hit the bell icon so you never miss an update.